Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA or visit mensteaclinic.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Yeah, buddy, it's hour number 3 of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan, and we are now just 20 minutes away from Chris Young joining us here. The Chris Young Show, Mondays at 4:20 here on your home of the World Series champs, 105.3 The Fan. Rangers baseball again tonight at 6:30. Sands will join us in a couple of hours for the very latest. DeGrom throwing over the weekend Friday as we were preparing for our show. He was there at the Globe, Brian.
Saw it with my own eyes. Looked like he was, if one of those evaluators of sounds, that pop of that glove was very encouraging.
Sounds a little different when he throws, huh?
Yeah, a little different. And you could watch him throw. It was like you could tell when he was throwing his breaking stuff.
Okay.
Like the glove, you know, you could see the catcher set up and then glove going low and away, you know. So it looked like he had pretty darn good control of his pitches and stuff like that, and what we got to see.
Is he throwing breaking stuff against live hitting yet?
I believe the slider's been working.
Yeah, the pitching that we saw was just catcher and him throwing the ball.
Yeah, I don't think he's throwing against live batters.
That was it.
But we can get an update from CY.
Heck yeah, we're going to get an update from CY. We'll talk to him about that. Josh Young and all the other Ranger storylines, but we're just a couple of days away from flying into Oxnard. Wednesday after the show, we'll be heading to the airport and ready to commence our coverage. Cannot wait for that. Brian's staying the entire training camp this year, so he'll have pre- and post-game shows during their preseason games, and he will be doing the G-Bag Nation live from the tennis courts even when we return a couple of weeks from today.
Yeah, there'll be a couple different times, too. I think we'll have practice going on. Ooh. So we'll have a live mic situation, and we'll set the scene for you guys from there.
Well, I'll set the scene right here for you for the Athletic preseason poll, and salute to the Athletic for doing this for us every year, giving us a good idea of how the fans are voting on this. Thousands and thousands of respondents. The first question is the most interesting. Let me ask it to you in this way. How many games will the Cowboys win this season? There were 4 different answers. Tell me which one got the most. 13 or more, 10 to 12, 8 to 9, or less than 8?
10 to 12.
I think 10 to 12 got the most as well.
You guys are both right.
Yeah.
67% of the votes. I think that is where I would vote right now. I have confidence in this team for the regular season, and after watching what the Eagles lost, I think they might even win the division with 10 or 11. Second most, 8 to 9 with 28%.
Yeah.
13 or more only had 2% of people vote with that. I don't know if you're doing a bit or you're a homer, but this team does need a miracle to win more games than it has the last 3.
Those are the folks, and I love you. Those are the folks that if they start losing games they're not going to listen to us because they don't want to hear us talk poorly about their team.
Yeah, maybe. They only see the good.
Yeah, and
I get that. Small percentage.
They do not want to hear Gavin Dawson or Brian Bross or Zach Wolchek say anything negative about their football team.
Well, they only got 2.3%, and then less than 8 hit for 2.7%. I could see that happening pretty easily. You know, you have one injury on defense and the right injury on offense, and it's pretty much over. I mean, I think either Lamb, Parsons, Dak could put you at risk of that, and any two of those put you under it.
Sure. I mean, any offensive line injury, I think that one's also going to be interesting along there. So, yeah, I'm with you. Health is... It is every year, right? But especially with the questions amongst the depth, I think this year it's more pivotal than ever.
The 805, I believe that's Santa Barbara. They say, Wolchek brought us General. Can we grab some cold beers when you're out here? NA for the General. Yes, although I don't know if the Rudder Room serves an NA. I might have to go pick one up myself.
Yeah, might have to bring your own.
I tell you what, that Athletic Brewing IPA, I've been enjoying those for a couple of years. My brother... who still does drink regular beer, but he texted me over the week and he's like, dude, you got to see if they have this in Texas. I'm like, dude, it's been here. I love it. It's at most grocery stores. So maybe I'll be able to find some of that out there. Take a six pack with me. I'll crack them with you guys.
Yeah, let's go.
What's going to happen in January? What do you think? They will at least reach the NFC title game. They'll lose divisional round, lose wild card round, or they'll miss the playoffs.
I think wild card round is what we all said. That's where I'd go.
As a show, we've talked about this a bunch. 9-8. Is that good enough to win? It might be one game short. I think
could be.
To make sure you win the division, I think you're going to have at least 10.
Yeah, so, I think 10 wins probably wins the division.
I just kind of feel like this division really is up for grabs. And I say that with... not so much with the Giants in mind, but in the Commanders, we'll see. But you know, with the Eagles and the Cowboys, I think both teams have a lot of questions.
Yep.
I mean, both coaching staffs are a little bit of we always talk about the hot seat. You know, Nick Sirianni is. You know, I think people if they don't have some success, even though he's been to a Super Bowl recently, I think Jeff Lurie and that crew will move on from him. They've made a lot of changes and. I don't know if necessarily Kellen Moore is the great answer for helping Jalen Hurts.
That's a huge question over there. How does that relationship work?
Yeah, I can say my hope is you find a way to win the division. I think that's the best way to go. I think having to go on the road to Green Bay, San Francisco, Detroit, one of those places would not be very inviting.
They'll miss the playoffs. 21.5% of people voted that.
Yeah.
The leading vote getter was they'll lose in the wild card round. Losing divisional round was second only to that with 31%. And they will at least reach the NFC title game.
How many was that?
10%.
Mm-hmm.
10% of voters. So some folks believe in there. I think I could see them staying healthy and still having a scenario where your two rookie offensive linemen aren't good. Your lack of runner is like pushing you so far down that teams even more ignore your run game and play that clog and cover technique against Dak, which has been kryptonite. I feel like, you know, the book has been out on how to do that against the Cowboys for years. You know, maybe it's more obvious than ever, but I think if you can't run the ball, Mozzie Smith doesn't step up. They don't get another one defensive technique tackle. Mm-hmm. Kendricks is washed up. Like, I know that's a handful of ifs right now, but I've played it on the optimistic side. On the pessimistic side, I could see them staying healthy and still managing to have a terrible year. I mean, can you imagine if you get nothing from your rookie left tackle in the run game and he's a turnstile in the passing game?
That's going to be
curtains at that point.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah, and you could also run into a problem that all of a sudden all the pressure now goes onto the quarterback's shoulders and he's having to throw the ball 40-something times a game.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen before, you know, he'll throw the ball well at times and then all of a sudden his receivers will let him down. You know, balls clang off guys. Maybe there'll be a couple times where he'll be his fault. He has a bad read. But all of a sudden you're throwing the ball 40 times a game with no running game.
Yeah,
you're inviting trouble is what you're inviting there.
6-8-2, there's literally no evidence for even the most diehard homer to think they'll get past the second round of the playoffs. I would agree with that, like based on how the last seasons have gone, but it's just so unpredictable how good is the best team going to be in the NFL. You know, the Niners were on like a 3-game losing streak at one point last year when they lost Trent Williams and Debo. So just things could happen to the field. But I think that's one of the great things about the NFL is they've made it so close from the average team to the best teams that legitimately a number of teams have the opportunity to jump up and take that bull by the horns if they can get enough things right with their coaching and their personnel. Okay, if only one of these three could still be on the Cowboys 3 years from now, who would you want it to be? And Dak, Micah, CeeDee were the three options there. How did the fans vote on this one?
We went CeeDee when we kicked this one around.
Yeah.
I don't. I mean, the fans go. They're not going Dak. I believe it's not Dak.
It's not Dak. I believe it's if I had to power.
It's Mike or CD.
It's probably CD, and it's probably then Dak, and then Micah is what I would guess.
Well, it actually Micah won this.
Oh, did he really?
52.5%. You know that, and that was a little bit surprising for me. CD with 34. The other really surprising thing: Dak Prescott only got 13.4% of the votes.
Oof.
I've never seen a metric that doubts Dak as much as this poll does right here. I just wonder. I've always felt like it's close to 50-50, just like with Tony, but maybe it's more a ratio of 4-5-6-1.
I think that, you know, that fans are starting to see guy finished second in MVP, had a hell of a year last year. They're starting to see that maybe this guy doesn't have playoff success. And is that his fault all the time? No. There's some times though against San Francisco, if they would have had some type of offense in those games, they would have found a way to win, move those games. But yeah, there's been, you know, the lack of playoff success. And it's affected him more than anybody else, because everybody blames him for the lack of success. And
yeah,
the defense was just god awful in that Green Bay game last year. You know,
the whole team was so bad.
They're so bad.
Yeah, I mean, they laid an egg in general.
I think people are voting that Dak can't get him to the Super Bowl. That's what they're voting on right there.
Yeah, and when you've made the playoffs for 3 years in a row, I think this happens to any team. You know, once you get to the playoffs consistently, Zach, you said it earlier, it just feels like, oh well, this is our ceiling. And maybe it's time to you know, take a look at different folks, different cast characters. Who's the Cowboys' most overrated player right now? That's a good segue from what we were just talking about. Your candidates: Deron Bland, Trevon Diggs, Zeke, Micah, or Dak. How'd they vote?
I probably voted for Dak. That would be my guess. Dak got nothing on the last one.
I'm going to say they probably voted for Zeke. That would be my guess.
Well,
I think there's people that can't believe they brought Zeke back.
Yeah, I think they're not voting for Zeke that much because I think a lot of people
just kind of know what Zeke is now.
Yeah. He's here for the vibes, and because you needed a veteran running back and he fit the bill. But Dak won this almost in a runaway. Yeah. He had about 45% of the vote. Micah Parsons came in second but had nearly half as many as Dak. Zeke, Diggs, Bland.
Well,
let's do the text thing right now at 877-881-1053. Do you believe in Dak or do you not? I want to see how a little text poll would go. Just say believe or don't believe. And, you know, we'll take a look at that here in just a second. Brian, what are we going to jump in there with?
Yeah, are we to the point now where people have just completely given up on Dak?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I mean, I know
there's a lot of people. It looks like about 80% of them based on this poll. That's why I threw that out there for the text. I want to, you know, get a – and that might be the reason that the Cowboys would want to move on. You know, like the reason that a franchise quarterback is so important to the business of football, it sells tickets, it sells interest, it's on TV.
There was a time where Jerry Jones – this is when I was 4 years ago working for DallasCowboys.com. Where Jerry Jones would come into a meeting and say, is this really our guy? And he was talking about Dak. And I wonder if now, you know, 4 years later, that this is really where they feel. Is this really our guy? And that the answer is, you know, no, this isn't our guy.
I believe Dak's good enough to win a Super Bowl, but I don't believe the Cowboys will construct a team good enough around him to do that. Yeah. What do you think? Do you believe in Dak or not? Like I would obviously put a qualifier out there. I think he's good enough to win a Super Bowl, but not with the Cowboys. So I would ultimately say don't believe he's going to take this team even to the NFC title game. 214, no. 469, absolutely not. That's from the swag daddy. 972, no. 817, don't believe in Dak postseason. 903, don't. 903, believe.
Okay.
Don't believe. Wow. Okay, I'm just giving you a little bit there.
That sounds almost 70% like don't believe.
I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, it's not to say Dak stinks and he's terrible.
Yeah.
But you brought up the 49ers game, right? Like Green Bay, they had no chance to win. Whole team played bad. Dak played bad. Yeah. Whole team played poorly.
Mm-hmm.
The previous two, though, the losses to San Francisco, it's a one-score game, fourth quarter. There's two drives in both games at the end that you had a chance to go and win it.
Yeah.
You had a chance to go ahead and turn this narrative and say, bleep it, I can go down the field against a good defense and I can win this team a playoff game. They turn the ball over on downs, and then, of course, you had the end of the game, fourth down, the quarterback draw. They don't get the ball snapped in the wild card. Other one, three plays, punt. They get the ball back. You had the Zeke situation where he's at center, end of the game. You had two chances in both to go on the legendary playoff drive that determines the great quarterbacks in this game.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he wasn't able to do it.
Yeah.
469, there's a better chance of Biden winning in November than Dak in February.
Mm.
Okay, we got you down, 469.
Mm-hmm.
The 559 believes, 469 don't believe. And then nope. 682, I believe in Dak, but not the organization.
That's fair.
Don't believe due to the playoffs. 817, believe. Yeah, I would say at least 65%, maybe as high as 80% here, just taking a quick gander at it. All righty, it is the G-Bag Nation. Let's step aside because Chris Young, CY, set to join us next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling,
come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and time now for the Chris Young Show. Segment is brought to you by Window Nation. Go to windownation.com. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Segment of the Nation is brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. And, of course, the Chris Young Show is brought to you by PlayScore and by Anheuser-Busch. And a good afternoon to you, sir. How the heck are you?
Hey, guys. I'm well. How are you all?
About the same. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, sir. So what were your takeaways from the weekend?
Well, one, Baltimore is really good, and we knew that. We knew that coming into the weekend. We knew how good their offense was, and they showed it the first two games. And then I think game three, Andrew Heaney really showed that when you make pitches to those guys, that you can compete with them, you can get them out. And then we turned it over to the bullpen. The bullpen did a tremendous job And we were able to get the last game of the series there. So, you know, I think that there were some positives in that we know we can compete with the best team in the league. But also we saw how elite an elite offense looks. And, you know, our goal is to get back to being that. That's what we were last year. And I think that as we get healthy here, we have the potential to do what they do offensively.
How close are a couple of your key pieces and Josh Young and Evan Carter maybe to getting back?
Yeah, I was just outside watching Josh. He hit batting practice today. The next step for him will be a live batting practice off a pitcher, and then at which point we hope we can get him out on rehab for a few games. And my hope is that, you know, roughly 10 days, if everything goes smoothly, that he could be back. Evan is also making great progress, feeling really, really good. He'll take his first batting practice session tomorrow. At which point I think we can start to accelerate his progression as well. And my hope is that, you know, shortly after August 1st, Evan will be back. So we're trending the right direction with both those guys, and we need them desperately. They're big parts of our lineup, obviously two pieces that we were depending on this year. And when we get them back, my hope is that it just makes our lineup a little bit more complete, and our run production will improve.
CY, how frustrating is it that people even talk about you guys being sellers in this thing?
Well, it's a great question because I'm competitive by nature.
Sure.
And I came into the season with very high expectations, high conviction level in this roster, and really believed that we were going to be the team to beat in the West. Certainly it hasn't gone according to plan in terms of just we've had some injuries, we've had some underperformance, and we haven't been able to string together good stretches of baseball consistently the way we did last year and the way good teams do. Mm-hmm. So when people ask those questions, and you know, I even have to think about us potentially being sellers, that's not fun for me. That's something that I'm very frankly not proud of, and the competitive aspect of my character comes out, and I don't like it. But the reality is it's my job to not only evaluate the present, but to evaluate the future and make decisions based upon what's best for this franchise this year and 2025 and beyond. And that's part of the decision that I'll have to make here at some point. And, you know, we've got a great group in the front office. We've spent a ton of time preparing for a bunch of different routes that we could take here at the deadline. And really, I think this is a very important series for us in determining where we stand and what we can become as a team. And my hope is that we really get hot here, that we play great baseball against the White Sox, and that carries into the road trip because the deadline is next Tuesday, and we're going to have to make some tough calls in this next week.
See, why I've got a lot of scouting buddies around Major League Baseball, and they compliment you so much of how aggressive you are. And I was just curious, though, is this when the time of year, though, that you start to receive a lot more calls about your team, or are teams just, are they throwing chum in the water at you like, hey, listen, give us a call if you're doing something? Do they kind of leave it open-ended for you?
No, teams have been very respectful, which I appreciate. And those are sensitive calls. Obviously, I was on the other end of those calls last year when Sure. We were a very clear buyer. And so you want to be respectful, not understanding, you know, what the mentality of the opposing general manager may be. That said, the one takeaway I've had from almost every call I've had with winning teams is they look at us and say, you know, you've got a lot of really good players.
Yeah.
And two, we could see you making a run here. So, you know, other teams see what I see in terms of the talent on this roster. They obviously envy some of our players. That's the reason they're calling, is that they want to upgrade and improve their own teams, and they're checking to see which players we may make available if we went that route. But in those conversations, they make it very clear that they see our division, they see our place in the standings, they know we haven't been fully healthy, and they understand what we have coming back, and they also understand if we decide to go for it, why we would make that decision. So I'm not sure it gives me any more clarity as to where we stand and how to proceed, but and, you know, I think in terms of the reputation of being aggressive, I appreciate that. I think there's Yeah. times to be aggressive. I think there's times to be disciplined, and I think that we try to balance both of those, but you know, in the end, I know how important this team is to our fans. I know how important last year was to our fans, what it meant to our fans. And I have said this since the day I got the job. Our fans deserve a winning team, and it's our jobs to give them that. And so if being aggressive means that we can give our fans the best chance to watch a winning team, I'm all for it. That said, I also want to be disciplined and recognizing, you know, that we do have an uphill battle, and there may be a time to be disciplined, and at which point, you know, I'll have to make that call and decide what the best path forward is for the franchise.
Yeah, it's, I say aggressive, though. I there's a lot of respect, and you don't need me to tell you that. I just like to say these guys are like, hey, you got a damn good general manager down there. So I just wanted to put that out. Yeah,
I appreciate that. Trust me, there are a lot of days I don't know what the heck I'm doing, but I do my best.
What's the process like internally to get to a decision? And could you guys take it unknown into deadline day and just see how good the offers are?
You know, we talked about that today as a group, and I think it's really hard to come down to the last 24 hours and not have a committed path, mainly because we have so many players that are coveted in terms of the trade market. And so with that in mind, it's just we don't have the bandwidth or the manpower to really to spread ourselves that thin if it comes down to the last 24 hours. So what I'd like to see really is us come out here and play really good baseball, get hot, win 4 or 5 in a row, and make the decision for us. Make it very clear that this is a team that can compete into August and September. And if we do that, and I say this wholeheartedly, I believe we can, but I've been saying this for weeks to you guys, and every time we take a step forward, we seem to take a step backwards. Mm-hmm. So I really want to see us start turning this on and progress to the level that I think we can, and in which scenario I'll gladly bet on this group of guys to go out and find a way to play really good baseball over the next 2 months and make a playoff push.
CY, is it one of those things where that you have, if you can become a buyer, you have the support of ownership to go be a buyer, or are you trying to have to convince ownership that, hey, if we do this, we can have success?
Yeah, I think that if we are on the buy side, I think it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be big splashes like we made last year. I think it'll be more complementary pieces that make our team. The best buying we can do is getting our own healthy. If we get Josh Jung back and Evan Carter back, that makes our lineup significantly better. If we get Tyler Mahle back and Jacob deGrom back and Dane Dunning and Cody Bradford, all of a sudden you look up and you see what resembles a very complete team. And so I think the best buying we can do is to get ourselves healthy. And if there are other small pieces that fit our team, you know, I fully expect to have ownership support in terms of adding those pieces to make our team whole. And giving ourselves the best chance to go into the last 2 months and a playoff push to win another world championship. So yes, I think that, but we also have to have conviction that that is the right move to make. And, you know, I think these next few games are going to help us determine that.
If the club goes out and certainly helps you get that conviction, have you identified or had conversations on what those complementary areas you'd like to address could be?
Yeah, I think there, you know, I just think that it'll be probably more on the offensive side, just adding a bat to the lineup of some sort, whether it's really a right-handed, left-handed, it doesn't really matter. Just somebody who can lengthen the lineup, fits our approach, and really can help us. You know, right now we're pretty young and thin on our bench right now. You guys have done a great job. We have Justin Foscue and Jonathan Ornelas up here right now, and you know we're asking a lot of these guys, the 7, 8, 9 spots in the order, and so getting Josh and Evan back will help that. Is there a way to lengthen that out a little bit longer and add one more bat? So I think that's what we're looking at on the buy side. Should we go that route? We feel pretty good about our pitching. We really do. I think yesterday was a perfect example where Andrew Haney gave us 5. Josh Forrest came in for 2, David Robertson to Kirby Yates. It was a pretty good combo, very similar to the way we matched up in the playoffs last year. So with what we have coming back, we feel pretty good about the pitching side. That said, I'll always remain open-minded. But I think, you know, improving our offense and upgrading there would be the biggest priority if we did do anything in terms of buying.
What are you hearing from medical on Evan Carter? Is there a concern it could be a long-term deal, or is he going to come out of this good as new?
No, he's feeling great. He was actually, while Josh Jung was hitting live, batting practice on the field, Evan was in center field shagging and running down balls. In fact, I had to ask our trainer, my eyes are getting so bad. I had to say, who is that running down those balls in the gap in center field? He said, Evan. And I said, oh, that looks really good. So that was a really positive sign. He's doing great. He's pain-free. We're trying to build him up responsibly, recognizing he's missed a lot of baseball. We don't want to push him to where he had has a setback, but we're optimistic that in roughly 10 days, 2 weeks, he may be a big league option for us.
How many more rehab starts are you looking at until you maybe get Tyler Mahle back? And then with Cody Bradford, that's not a name we've even asked you about, but my gosh, you look back at the first month of the season, might have been your best arm. How close were you to seeing him again?
You know, Cody was an under-the-radar loss for us. I mean, really, we've missed out on having him. He was off to a great start. He pitched well for us last year in the second half. And Cody has made one rehab start in Arizona. I believe he's pitching tomorrow night again for Frisco. I think in the next 1 to 2 rehab outings, we'll evaluate what the best way to get Cody fully back is. Do we shorten him down and put him in the bullpen, or do we lengthen him out and have him become a rotation option for us? Probably lean to shorten him up a little bit and get him back in the big leagues, and then we can build him up to start here if we need to. But that's a decision that Boach and I have to sit down and discuss with Mike Maddox and our training staff. But optimistic on Cody. And then Tyler has thrown really, really well. He continues to get better and better each rehab outing. We're still building him up. He's really only been up to kind of 3 innings. So I think that getting to the 4 and 5 inning threshold is important. He may reach that his next outing, at which point we'll reevaluate and see if he's ready to be activated. But Tyler will have a lot of say in that discussion as well in terms of how he's feeling and if he's ready to come get big league hitters out.
I love it, CY. Other than obviously 3 wins here, what are you hoping to see against the White Sox?
Just us playing our best baseball, just having quality at bats, really coming out, swinging the bat, being aggressive, playing clean baseball defensively, and our pitching doing what they did on Sunday. And really in that Houston series going into the break, we threw the ball so well in Houston and then had kind of 2 duds, which are expected against Baltimore, and then came back yesterday. So I just want us to see – I want to see us play a complete game. I want to see us pitch. I want to see us defend, and I want to see us have quality at bats. If we do that, I know how good this team can be, and really excited to see us get hot and hopefully make a strong push here.
Give them hell. We'll be pulling for you.
Guys, thanks so much. Good talking with you.
Cheers. There he goes, Chris Young, man. Love it. I get goosebumps listening to that guy talk. It's not a coincidence that he was so coveted, and you know he's a World Series winning GM very early in his career.
Yeah, highly respected. I wouldn't blow in smoke up his ass. I mean, it really, the guys I talk to around baseball are like, you got a damn good one down there.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, and they enjoy dealing with him, and they respect him, you know, as a former player and all that. And you could tell every week, you know, he's honest. He doesn't run away from things.
No.
He doesn't try to sugarcoat it or, you know, make you feel a little bit better. No, he needs his baseball team to play better.
Yep.
You know, and that's what he strives for every time he shows up.
All righty. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We're back with more sports here with you in the G-Bag Nation. Football's Finest coming up at 5 o'clock. Oh, thank you, Lucius. Football's Finest coming up at 5 o'clock. We're about an hour away from LA Live with Lucius Alexander every night 5:40 here on The Fan. Salute to CY. He joined us, brought to you by PlayScore and by Anheuser-Busch. If you missed it, I'd highly recommend going back and taking a listen with our Odyssey app, Twitch, YouTube, whatever you need to do. Brian, what did you just say about this this White Sox series? The break there?
What did I said something. I dropped an F-bomb or something.
I think
like
it was 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're very passionate there, but I think you're right. I think they need a sweep. Minimum 3 out of 4, but I think this is a team you need to take care of and sweep.
I said it with a couple of F-bombs involved, and then I used the word, we're sellers if that's the case, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I do. I just think, man, I want to believe, like I say, CY, I think he's in a terrible spot right now because he, you know, I'm happy that he's thinking about, hey, we can go get somebody. I do understand what they're doing about their own guys.
Yeah.
I get that. That's going to be like, because he's going to have to think about roster spots too, you know, about who to bring up, who to let go and all. You know, he might be actually make some small moves, but sell a couple of his pitchers along the way too, you know. So I think he's in a bad spot because he wants his team to play better so he doesn't have to make that decision.
Yeah, you can tell. I mean, the competitiveness in his voice. He's like, I don't want to guys, go out there and just win for me.
Win for me.
Just take care of this really, so I don't like I can make the easy decision, and that's be aggressive and buy.
Yeah.
At 877-881-1053, Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line is open for you. What would you think if they did decide to sell here?
Caught me by surprise there. I didn't know you were going to call me after dropping a bunch of F-bombs at the break.
I liked it. You know, I think it was, if we don't bleeping sweep these bleeps, we're bleeped.
We're bleeped.
How important is this White Sox series? I mean, you don't need to sweep it, but you need to win 2 of 3. For the first time that we've been talking with CY,
four games.
It's four game set?
Four games with these
Okay,
guys.
So, winning 3 of 4 would be great.
Yeah.
Winning all four, that would be outstanding.
There you go.
But, splitting against a team that is one of the worst offensive teams in baseball.
They get shut out every third game, they're getting shut out. You know?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So, this is a huge opportunity. And, you know, for the first time, CY was talking with us about, hey, I need to do what's in the best interest of this team, not only for now, but for 2025 and beyond.
Yeah. Sure.
Which, you know, he's not just, you know, not denying that they're out there in the trade market, but he's actually owning that portion of it, at least for now. And I think I like that, you know, because I don't want a GM who is, you know, looking at it and saying, no, we got to compete. It's all about this year. That's what Jerry does wrong, is never being willing to take a half step back to improve your long-term outlook. And if they do that, you know, sure, it will stink, but two things. Number one, there's a silver lining on it that they're setting themselves up for 2025 to give themselves an absolute best chance. I mean, what the Rangers gave up for Max Scherzer last year was significant, even though they didn't get money. Mm-hmm. Could you get prospects back? The way that Max Scherzer is pitching, you could make a compelling case that in one more start, if he goes out there and goes 6 innings and gives up 2 runs or less, a team that is starter needy and in playoff positioning, they might be willing to give you some really significant players for their shot. And I think you got to be open-minded to that, especially because the second part of that for me is, even if you sell, it doesn't mean you're totally waving the white flag on the season.
No, he could give up pitching and still make minor moves.
I mean, he mentioned
he's got surplus.
Like with Cody Bradford, who was their best pitcher for the first month of the season, they're having that conversation of, I mean, our rotation's okay right now. Should we just keep Cody Bradford short and put him in the bullpen? I mean, he can be our long reliever. I mean, they're not in a situation where they're forced to just put Cody Bradford back into the rotation. You got Tyler Mahle, who's coming back, right? So they do have plenty of options here. I mean, I really think it's a bummer to be having the conversation about even selling to begin with. But I do think big picture here, the Rangers are in an okay spot. Because even if they sell some pieces, most of them are all going to be on expiring contracts. They can go ahead and refuel and retool to be able to put together another team next year who I think we're all going to be looking at as legit contenders again.
Yeah, they'll be right there. They just have way too much, you know, good younger talent. You know, if you got to do, hey, our roster is old, we can't keep this together for another year and believe we're competitive like the 2011 Mavericks, that's one thing in a situation like this, because it's all or nothing. It's a zero-sum game. This is more of a hedge in order to, you know, improve your long-term chances. But no doubt this White Sox series is massively important. What do they have, another 8 games or so to look at? And, you know, if you're banging the drum in there for we got to sell, I think all these games are massively important, you know, and not being able to play over 500. So if they can't do that, if they got to sell, Brian, where does your blame go? Like if it was the Cowboys, we would have a top five blame everybody here.
Yeah.
With the Rangers, we know how we feel about the skipper. We know how we feel about the front office. Like, if they're not the absolute best in the big leagues, and we know these players are certified championship quality, is it just injuries? Do you say we had bad luck?
No. I think it to me, they clearly did not hit like they – and last year they were one of the better offensive teams in Major League Baseball. But they've had some guys that have not hit as well as they did last year. We've talked about, you know, with Simeon, Seager. Seager didn't get off to a great start. The one guy that kind of was, you know, the one guy that was pressed into duty was Josh Smith.
Yep.
And he had to play because of Josh Young.
Yeah.
He's the one guy that you kind of look at and say, wow, okay, he did his job. But, you know, let's be honest, Garcia. There's been some questions about Garcia playing in the field. You know, has he hustled? Has he gone after the ball? You know, there's some questions that have been about him. You know, has his lack of success at the plate affected him defensively?
Yeah.
Happens.
Yeah. You know, it absolutely does.
And we were all worried about relief pitching, and it's like, oh, they went out and got two veteran dudes.
They've been great.
They've been lights out. You know, it hasn't the pitching, even making up for all the injuries and stuff they have, it hadn't been the pitching. Their hitting has been at times horrendous. Just horrendous.
Yeah.
And that's just a bunch of underperforming.
Championship hangover. That. You know, you had the misfortune of a lot of your guys not being focused.
Simeon, Seager, you know, those two got off to that start. We've kind of talked about Young, not him not being in the lineup, what a big deal that
it's
was.
It's huge, but like Jonah Heim has not played. Been as good.
Garcia.
Definitely. Nathaniel Lowe has been pretty inconsistent.
Yeah, it just has not been. And
Leody Taveras. I mean, Leody has times where he's making great plays, and then he's doing some just brain dead type of mistakes in the outfield.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been surprising and jarring at times this year how poorly Leody Taveras has played, but still so many good players. And it is a good time to think about what Josh Young meant to this team last year. And, you know, sometimes a guy just has a presence in a lineup, things fit together well, and you play significantly better just because one guy is back. And maybe Josh Young balances this. Maybe he, you know, tears apart left-handed hitting in a way. But whatever the case was last year, when he was out, they were mid. And then when he came back, they were great. When Evan Carter was not on the team, they were really struggling, and he arrives and has one of the most legendary postseasons by anybody. You know, you can throw out the rookie thing, what he was able to do. So maybe they are just critical pieces of this, lineup chemistry and the way this team goes about its business that are going to be crucial to get back locked in. And yeah, the Bradford thing is big as well, which I think is another reason to be ecstatic about all the assets that CY has to deal with, and there's nobody else that I'd want making the decisions than him. When we come back, it's time for an edition of The Finest. Woolchuck, what you got?
The NFL future power rankings. Where do the Cowboys project over the next 3 years? And is this something you consider when getting married? That's next.
Well, thank you, Lucius. Football's Finest coming up at 5 o'clock. We're about an hour away from LA Live with Lucius Alexander every night 5:40 here on The Fan. Salute to CY. He joined us, brought to you by PlayScore and by Anheuser-Busch. If you missed it, I'd highly recommend going back and taking a listen with our Odyssey app, Twitch, YouTube, whatever you need to do. Brian, what did you just say about this this White Sox series? The break there?
What did I said something. I dropped an F-bomb or something.
I think it was three.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're very passionate there, but I think you're right. I think they need a sweep. A minimum three out of four, but I think this is a team you need to take care of and sweep.
I said it with a couple of F-bombs involved, and then I used the word, we're sellers if that's the case, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I do. I just think, man, I want to believe, like I say, CY, I think he's in a terrible spot right now because he, you know, I'm happy that he's thinking about, hey, we can go get somebody. I do understand what they're doing about their own guys. Yeah. I get that. That's going to be like... Because he's going to have to think about roster spots too, you know, about who to bring up, who to let go, and all. You know, he might be actually make some small moves, but sell a couple of his pitchers along the way too, you know. So I think he's in a bad spot because he wants his team to play better, so he doesn't have to make that decision.
Yeah, can tell. I mean, the competitiveness in his voice. He's like, I don't want to. Guys, go out there and just win for me. Just take care of this, so I don't like I can make the easy decision, and that's be aggressive and buy.
Yeah.
At 877-881-1053, Franklin Frankel injury attorney text line is open for you. What would you think if they did decide to sell here?
Caught me by surprise there. I didn't know you were going to call
week and
after dropping a bunch of F-bombs at the break.
I liked it. You know, I think it was if we don't bleeping sweep these bleeps, we're bleeped.
We're bleeped.
How important is this White Sox series? I mean, you don't need to sweep it, but you need to win two of three. For the first time that we've been talking with CY,
four games.
It's four game set?
Four games with these
guys. Winning three or four would be great.
Yeah.
Winning all four, that would be outstanding.
There you go.
But Yeah, splitting against a team that is one of the worst offensive teams in baseball.
They get shut out like every third game they're getting shut out. You know?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So this is a huge opportunity. And, you know, for the first time, CY was talking with us about, hey, I need to do what's in the best interest of this team, not only for now, but for 2025 and beyond.
Yeah. Sure.
Which, you know, he's not just, you know, not denying that they're out there in the trade market, but he's actually owning that portion of it, at least for now. And I think I like that, you know, because I don't want a GM who is, you know, looking at it and saying, no, we got to compete. It's all about this year. That's what Jerry does wrong, is never being willing to take a half step back to improve your long-term outlook. And if they do that, you know, sure, it will stink. But two things. Number one, there's a silver lining on it that they're setting themselves up for 2025 to give themselves an absolute best chance. I mean, what the Rangers gave up for Max Scherzer last year was significant, even though they didn't get money. Mm-hmm. Could you get prospects back? The way that Max Scherzer is pitching, you could make a compelling case that in one more start, if he goes out there and goes six innings and gives up two runs or less, a team that is starter needy and in playoff positioning, they might be willing to give you some really significant players for their shot. And I think you got to be open-minded to that, especially because the second part of that for me is, even if you sell, it doesn't mean you're totally waving the white flag on the season.
No, he could give up pitching and still make minor moves.
I mean, he mentioned
he's got surplus.
Like with Cody Bradford, who was their best pitcher for the first month of the season, they're having that conversation of, I mean, our rotation's okay right now. Should we just keep Cody Bradford short and put him in the bullpen? I mean, he can be our long reliever. I mean, they're not in a situation where they're forced to just put Cody Bradford back into the rotation. You got Tyler Mahle, who's coming back, right? So they do have plenty of options here. I mean, I really think it's a bummer to be having the conversation about even selling to begin with. But I do think big picture here, the Rangers are in an okay spot. Because even if they sell some pieces, most of them are all going to be on expiring contracts. They can go ahead and refuel and retool to be able to put together another team next year who I think we're all going to be looking at as legit contenders again.
Yeah, yeah, they'll be right there. They just have way too much, you know, good younger talent. You know, if you got to do, hey, our roster is old, we can't keep this together for another year and believe we're competitive like the 2011 Mavericks, that's one thing in a situation like this because it's all or nothing. It's a zero-sum game. This is more of a hedge in order to, you know, improve your long-term chances. But no doubt this White Sox series is massively important. What do they have, another 8 games or so to look at? And, you know, if you're banging the drum in there for we got to sell, I think all these games are massively important, you know, and not being able to play over 500. So if they can't do that, if they got to sell, Brian, where does your blame go? Like if it was the Cowboys, we would have a top 5 blame everybody here.
Yeah.
With the Rangers, we know how we feel about the skipper. We know how we feel about the front office. Like, if they're not the absolute best in the big leagues, and we know these players are certified championship quality, is it just injuries? Do you say we had bad luck?
No. I think it to me, they clearly did not hit like they, and last year they were one of the better offensive teams in Major League Baseball. But they've had some guys that have not hit as well as they did last year. We've talked about, you know, with Semien, Seager didn't get off to a great start. The one guy that kind of was, you know, the one guy that was pressed into duty was Josh Smith.
Yep.
And he had to play because of Josh Young.
Yeah.
He's the one guy that you kind of look at and say, wow, okay, he did his job. But, you know, let's be honest, Garcia, there's been some questions about Garcia playing in the field. You know, has he hustled? Has he gone after the ball? You know, there's some questions that have been about him. You know, has his lack of success at the plate affected him defensively?
Yeah.
Happens.
Yeah. You know, it absolutely does.
And we were all worried about relief pitching. And it's like, oh, they went out and got two veteran dudes.
They've been great.
They've been lights out. You know, it hasn't the pitching, even making up for all the injuries and stuff they have, it hadn't been the pitching. Their hitting has been at times horrendous. Just horrendous.
Yeah.
And that's just a bunch of underperformance.
Championship hangover, that. You know? You had the misfortune of a lot of your guys not being focused.
I mean, like I say, that Simeon, Seager, you know, those two got off to that start. We've kind of talked about Young, not him not being in the lineup, what a big deal that
it's
was.
It's huge, but like Jonah Heim has not been as good.
Garcia.
Definitely. Nathaniel Lowe has been pretty inconsistent.
Yeah, it just has not been. And
Leody Taveras. I mean, Leody has times where he's making great plays, and then he's doing some just brain-dead type of mistakes in the outfield.
Yeah,
it's been surprising and jarring at times this year how poorly Leody Taveras has played, but still so many good players, and it is a good time to think about what Josh Young meant to this team last year. And, you know, sometimes a guy just has a presence in a lineup, things fit together well, and you play significantly better just because one guy is back. And maybe Josh Young balances this. Maybe he, you know, tears apart left-handed hitting in a way. But whatever the case was last year, when he was out, they were mid. And then when he came back, they were great. When Evan Carter was not on the team, they were really struggling, and he arrives and has one of the most legendary postseasons by anybody. You know, you can throw out the rookie thing, what he was able to do. So maybe they are just critical pieces of this, you know, lineup chemistry and the way this team goes about its business that are going to be crucial to get back locked in. And yeah, the Bradford thing is big as well, which I think is another reason to be ecstatic about all the assets that CY has to deal with, and there's nobody else that I'd want making the decisions than him. When we come back, it's time for an edition of the finest. Woolchuck, what you got?
The NFL future power rankings. Where do the Cowboys project over the next 3 years? And is this something you consider when getting married? That's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.